So do you want to say it, or do you want me to say it?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
Well, it doesn't matter. I think you should say it first, because, like, I don't know. Hear your voice.
Okay,
and
so, like, something presents, or William Kaplan presents the Reggie and Kaplan Show?
No, we're not going to use the William Kaplan thing anymore. We need to distance ourselves from them.
Okay, so,
we have complete control now. They're trusting us.
Okay, like, hello and welcome? Hello and welcome?
That's whatever you want
to
say. Just
hello and welcome to the Reggie and Kaplan Show.
Just make sure you say episode one, and then I'm Reggie, and you'll say you're Kelvin, and then I'll stop, and we'll go into the rest of it.
Okay. Okay. All right. This is the Reggie and Kaplan Show. I'm Kaplan.
And I'm Reggie. Take two.
All right, yeah. I should have said this is Reggie and Kaplan Show, and then you say you're Reggie, and then I'll say I'm Kaplan.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay. This is the Reggie and Kaplan Show.
I'm Reggie.
I'm Kaplan.
Take three.
Alright, yeah, I forgot to say episode one.
Yeah,
all right.
Make sure you say episode one.
Alright, so I gotta say, yeah, Reggie and Kaplan Show. No William Kaplan Presents. No something something. Reggie and Kaplan Show. Episode one. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Alright. This is the Reggie and Kaplan Show. Episode one.
I'm Reggie.
I'm Kaplan.
Jay said you guys had a Star Wars themed wedding and you tied the knot dressed like stormtroopers. And he says you're the bitch and you're the butch.
I'm the bitch?
Well, if we were gay, that's the way I'd see it.
Will you shut up?
Okay, so here we are, finally, after over a month. We've got our first show ready for everybody. We had some problems. We had some technical problems. Some really, really frustrating technical problems that we only just now, 5 minutes ago, were able to work out. And even then, I'm not very happy with how it worked out. But that's okay. We also had, you know, just light and just everything. Timing issues, time zone problems. Just all that getting in the way. So, go ahead.
Yeah, so what we're going to do today, we're just going to run through some of our regular segments or semi-regular topics.
That's right.
And, you know, give a little bit of conversation on it and move on. And there'll be much goodness.
Right. We're not really going to have any set format from week to week or day to day or however often we do this, but there's going to be quite a few different topics that we cover, and it's going to relate to everything that we do. So some episodes are going to be like today's, where we just run through a list of things because there's a lot of cool stuff to talk about, but other days you might hear us talking about our various like philosophies or business with something something productions, or just talking because we don't really have anything specific to talk about, but we're really vain and want you to hear us. Not really. We're not really vain, but still, it'll be fun. It should be fun for everyone.
Cool, cool. So should we launch into the first segment there?
I think so.
Alright, you want to start?
Well, the first segment, I guess, since it's a pretty big deal to both of us and probably most of the people listening, is video games.
Yep. So, what you been playing?
I have been playing lots and lots of Twilight Princess for Nintendo Wii, which shouldn't come as any surprise to anyone, because that game is amazing. It's just amazing. I'm pretty far into it. I'm getting ready to go to the castle and rescue the princess, because that's the whole point of Zelda.
Yes.
And right now, I'm just finding all the rest of the heart containers and the ghosts, because there's a fun thing you have to do with, like, the ghost souls and stuff. The Poes. They're called Poes in Zelda, but, you know, those are the ghosts with the lanterns. So that's a lot of fun.
Cool, cool.
And in between that, because I haven't really had time to just sit and go through the castle, because I know once I get to that point, I'm just going to have to do it all in one sitting, because it's going to be amazing, like the rest of the game has. So when I'm not playing Zelda, when I'm not looking for my hearts and ghosts, I have been playing Super Paper Mario on the Virtual Console. It was the Nintendo 64 game that was the sequel to Super Mario RPG. And that game's pretty sweet.
Cool, cool.
So, what about you? What have you been playing?
I spent the majority of my summer playing Elder Scrolls 3, Morrowind.
Right.
And,
right.
And both expansions. I've beaten both expansions, but and the original game, but the nice thing about it is that there's no beginning. Well, there is a beginning, but there's really no end, and you can play it for as long as you want to. There's not a there's no set you know, not like a really, really strong central plot. There's just the main plot. And there are a number of different side plots that are not necessary for completing the main plot. But you just do questing. And you quest and you quest. I think, I don't know if you want to go into my my parallels between Seinfeld and Morrowind right now. But
I don't know. That that sounds interesting.
All right. Well, we can go into it then. The Morrowind is a very, very open-ended kind of a game because you can
right.
join any number of guilds. You can do the main quest. You can do any other number of side quests. And there's no beginning. There's no end. And you know, if you're trying to sell the game, you imagine like Jerry Seinfeld and George Costanza sitting in like Bethesda Studios, going, "It's a game about nothing. What happens? What's the goal? There is no goal. You know, you just fight one bad guy, and that's pretty much it. But the game doesn't end. Like there's like day to day, you might not do anything. You just might walk around and kill mud crabs. And what'd you do today? Well, I killed mud crabs for 3 hours.
They've added a lot of that to Zelda, like the parts that I'm at now, just exploring. I'm not really doing anything, but it's a lot of fun to find caves and blow them open with bombs and find new items and find ghosts and
that's kind of what the original goal, well, not the original goal, but by the end of Seinfeld, that's what they wanted to do with it, was just make a show that was really about absolutely nothing, just people doing regular things, and then because people would do normal things, you know, eventually things would repeat and a plot would develop out of nothing because things just happen when you live your life. So it's the same kind of a thing. Like you just interact with a number of people, you quest, and while you're questing on something else, somebody else stops you along the road, they give you another quest, and you just kind of, it's adventuring. Seinfeld is like an RPG sitcom.
NBC made a really big deal out of Jerry Seinfeld, guest starring on 30 Rock this week, and it really just turned into a half-hour preview for B-Movie, and I was actually pretty upset with it, because it was the season premiere. You know, I was excited, because I really liked that show. But it was just, oh, look, it's Seinfeld. We're going to talk about how we wish he was on NBC some more, because we're worthless without him, and we love him, and he's got an ego, and we're just going to stroke it as much as we can. Oh, and look, he's in a new movie. And we're going to show the preview for that movie 5 times during commercial breaks throughout the show, and we're going to reference it even more during the show itself.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't really a big fan of 30 Rock because I was pretty upset that they took off Studio 60 on Sunset Strip because that was pretty much
right.
A 60-minute version of 30 Rock, but it was wittier and better written and... oddly enough, wasn't watched.
Yeah, it's really interesting how that worked out. I don't really think 30 Rock is being watched a lot, but it's on Thursday nights on NBC, and they really have nothing to show. They need something to go between My Name is Earl and The Office. And even My Name is Earl, I guess, is kind of dropping off this season. So
yeah.
It's pretty much, we can't show The Office all week, so we have to have these other shows until you see The Office.
Yeah, that's... It's really interesting because, you know, they put The Office as, like, the anchor. And then, everything else, you're like, well, you're kind of with it. And that's, like, the closest they ever come to supporting a good show. Like, we'll force you to watch it.
But right, that's true.
It's like, sorry, if you turn on your television right when The Office comes on, it will not work. You have to watch every show before that in order to get the password. And then you use your secret decoder... And then you enter the password into your TiVo. Then you can record it and watch it later, but only once. And then you got to buy the DVD in 3 years.
Right.
Yeah, NBC.
That's pretty much how.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
That's how. No, you. Well, I was just gonna say that's how TV works now. Like they don't care if people actually watch it. It's
yeah.
Just the
like NBC started. They took off. They started doing full episodes on NBC.com, like the replay, which I thought was pretty awesome, because a two-minute replay of a half-hour sitcom is just crap. It's just you get jokes that have no context.
Yeah.
But if you, the hour-long shows, especially, like they were doing those last year, if you miss one episode, then, you know, you start to fall behind, because the way they do TV shows now, they'll pick up from one and go to another, and if you, it's like a soap opera. You can get lost so quickly. And so even with the sitcoms, they'll do that, where the jokes carry over from one to another. So if you want to really keep a series going, yeah, you need to keep, you know, keep people interested, and you can't alienate them because they had to work Monday night or something.
I like that, though. I like when you have to actually pay
attention
to
things. I like knowing
things. And you get more jokes.
Yeah.
And when it actually...
But the other thing that NBC started doing was after they started offering the full replay on NBC.com, they started pulling all their episodes from iTunes. So you can get... instead of getting the full episode that you pay for and watch over and over again, you watch it, like, once online, and then they'll bring it, like, next week they'll change it, and then so the only way that you get to watch it more than, you know, for that 1 week is if you buy the DVD. So they're concerned about the DVD sale.
Well, I believe what they're doing, they're breaking their affiliation with iTunes and going over to Amazon, because Amazon is introducing a pay per download per view to your MP3 player that's a lot more compatible with other MP3 players. And NBC, I believe that NBC is going exclusively with them. So yeah, you get like your second chance to see the show for a week, or if you want to buy it, you have to go over to Amazon. And as long as you're at Amazon, might as well buy the DVDs.
Because it'll pull up one of those stupid things. Yeah. People who downloaded this also bought, you know, DVDs.
Exactly. And if you do buy the DVDs on Amazon, you get access to exclusive downloadable content. So really, it kind of is better for everybody, but a lot of people are really upset because of the convenience of iTunes.
It just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. We've gotten kind of off topic here.
Okay.
So if we could pull it back to video games, I would like to talk a little bit about how much I love
that. I think we can allow that.
If that's all right with you. Okay. There's some really cool games coming out for it that I'm really excited about. Mainly Super Mario Galaxy, which I guess everybody says is just going to be the greatest game ever. I'm still a little wary of that. I don't know how great that's going to be, but I did pre-order it, and I'm pretty excited for it. And then, of course, there's Guitar Hero 3. So Guitar Hero is finally coming to Nintendo, and I'm finally going to get to play it. And I'm going to be a rock star.
I really hope they can do with that, with Guitar Hero 3, but that they didn't do with the first ones, is to start releasing new songs for it. Because like they, you know, you get those songs and then you unlock all the other songs and then that's it. But you were talking about how Nintendo does the downloading thing a lot better than the other ones do.
Yeah. I thought they did that for the Xbox, though. You can go online and download song packs.
I didn't know
that Xbox, you get four songs.
That they had. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they do that. I think for Guitar Hero 2, they did that for Xbox Live.
Check on it.
But...
Yeah.
Yeah, but they can do that with Nintendo now. I mean, I think that since this is the first Guitar Hero for Nintendo, they should release, like, the songs that we missed out on from the first two and from the 80s version.
Yeah, just...
Like, I would pay...
Yeah, make everything available.
Pay my Wii points. Yeah, there's no reason for them not to do that. And they are talking about how they're going to be upgrading the Virtual Console. There's going to be a lot more to do than just old games. They're going to be putting some new stuff on there, too. So I'd imagine that for a game like Guitar Hero, they would have to. It would be stupid if they didn't. They would have to make song packs available.
Yeah, I mean, you could even do it, like, as soon as a song becomes popular on the radio, just make it available, like an individual download, like you would be able to buy an individual MP3 online.
Right, I mean, they would still have to go through, like, the licensing issues. I mean, they still have to get the bands on board. But one thing with Guitar Hero 3, this is going to be the most songs that have been recorded by the original artist.
That is good. Cause
out of any of these games. Yeah. And with it being a lot of, like, the classic rock stuff that I'm really into...
Yeah, the original artist definitely is going to make that better then.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if you could unlock, like, acoustic versions and stuff. Like, alternate versions.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's alternate.
No, I think it just ups the ante on how difficult it is to play.
Oh. Well, I know when you do, there's going to be a two-player co-op mode where one person plays lead and the other plays rhythm.
Yeah, on the second one, you could play lead and bass, but they didn't have, like, a rhythm guitar.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's lead and rhythm. There might also be, like, lead and bass. But,
it's
going to be awesome. I really
and, like,
it.
A dueling guitars for, like, reeling in the ears.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
There's also going to be a crazy competition mode that's going to kind of be like those Tetris modes. You know how whenever you do really good, you get power-ups that you can use against the other guy? So that's how it's going to be. Like, you'll do really good, and then you'll get a superpower that you can use against the other player. Like, you can make one of his buttons not work for, like, 10 seconds. Or you can make his fret screen vibrate, so it's hard to see, like, when they're lined up right.
If you play it too long, like, it messes with your eyesight anyways.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Like, you have the fretboard coming at you, and then if you look away from the screen after you play for, like, an hour or something, then, like, the bookshelf is going to be, like, rolling at you, or the, like, the television, or, like, like your chair that like, rolls away from you or something. Unless you're trying to walk somewhere.
That's awesome. Well.
Cool.
Yeah. So, if you don't mind, Cal, I'd like to go into my first rant, because the people need to know that we're going to be doing a lot of ranting on the show.
All right, sounds good.
So
you go for that. I'll sit here. I got a chocolate wafer cookie here.
Awesome. I've got Guinness Extra Stout.
Aww.
I find that I enjoy drinking beer while podcasting, because it just relaxes me, makes me feel good. But yeah, to stay on the subject of video games, I would like to rant about why I think the concept of next gen, especially for this generation, is stupid. All right?
Okay.
All right. So, what I'm going to ask you, what does next gen mean to you? What should it mean? When you hear next gen, what do you think of?
I think a different generation is kind of a... it's like a grouping with an identifiable characteristic. There's a chronological element to it.
Okay.
But I guess it's the implication.
Right. What does it mean for video game systems? What do you think it should
mean? For video game systems, it means vast improvement. And each generation usually is released about the same time from all the big companies, and they advertise vast improvement over the last series of systems.
Right. Vast improvement, innovation, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And do we see that from any of this new wave of next generation? Is there any vast improvement?
There's vastly rushed products that are not particularly useful, safe, or supported.
That's right. And the only thing I've noticed is graphics. The Xbox 360, you can plug it into an HDTV now. The graphics are a little better. Same thing with the PS3. The whole selling point on it was you need to pay $600 because you need to play it on your high-definition TV that you're also going to have to pay $1,000 for, and it'll only work if you have the special adapter and further upgrade the PlayStation 3. But you need to, because you're going to see better graphics. That's it. What else is there except for better graphics in either of those two systems?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to get into the fact that there's no good games for the PlayStation 3 or the fact that the Xbox 360 falls apart. I mean, we could say that that's, you know, a next-generation idea. That's something new. That's never happened before. We've never had a system that, on normal use, sometimes even when it's turned off, will burn on the inside.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah, one of the fun parts about playing Morrowind is that it was the game required so much memory that the game would just randomly crash at any point.
Right.
So you had to worry about saving all the time.
Right, and not only that, I'm sure they expect you to sign on to Xbox Live and download a patch. Right, are there patches available for it?
Not for the Xbox version, but certainly for the PC versions.
Well, right, the PC versions, the patches actually improve things. That was always one of the complaints about PC games. Like, oh, we don't want to have to patch it. Well, it's not really that big a deal. You just pop on the internet, and it takes a couple seconds. Usually it tells you, like, hey, there's a new patch available. I mean, it's really not that big a deal. But you don't even get that anymore, because for Xbox, it's the same thing. Games aren't being completed, and they're just, oh, just release a patch to fix it.
Yeah. It's like fire and forget. And they're like, we paid money for this game, but it's part of, especially games that are part of a long franchise.
Right.
Like something that was real successful. I don't know. Like, Elder Scrolls has been a really popular game on the PC for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're doing a lot more support for the fourth one, for Oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're doing all the downloadable expansions and patches and upgrades and everything for both the Xbox 360 and for the PC, of course. But the other thing about Morrowind was that it was originally PC, so all the mods that people could do. But that's very different.
Which is another awesome reason for having a game on PC.
Yeah.
So we've established then that really the only innovation that we see is graphics. And that's really not worth it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think with the one exception of improved memory, because a lot of the systems they're all stock. So I guess if you can see more things at one time, more interactive objects at one time. But for the most part, you're right. They do use the extra memory just to handle and process more graphics.
Right, and a lot of people seem to be satisfied with that. A lot of people that call themselves hardcore gamers and, you know, really into their games. We'll hear Xenu talking about that in a little bit. But that's all they want. They just think the graphics. And an example of that is the stuff that I accidentally found when I accidentally went to some video game forums, because I don't really make it a habit of doing that because it's really stupid and most people don't have anything that's worth anything to say.
And they can't spell.
Right. But a lot of those people don't consider the Nintendo Wii to be next-gen because the graphics aren't as good. And, of course, because they're not as good, they're garbage. The graphics are bad, they're shit, they're garbage. All those horrible words. And they're not. They're not bad. They're just not as good as a PlayStation 3 or an Xbox 360. And because of that, that one fact alone, they don't consider the Wii to be next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's extremely stupid, because the Wii is the only system that actually has innovation, like with the motion controls. And this new concept of bringing it back to, like, bringing video games back to the whole family, while still catering to people that are really into games and hardcore gamers.
Yeah.
And as you know, I'll admit to everyone listening there, so I'm not called a hypocrite, I doubted the Wii. I really did. I thought that the motion control was just going to be a gimmick and that it really wasn't going to work well. Or that, I still think that Nintendo kind of screwed its fans over, like what it did with Zelda, where they delayed releasing it for 2 years so they could get it out on the Wii for a launch title. But at least they did still release it to GameCube. But as far as the way the system works and how it looks and how it plays, I was completely wrong about that. And I'm really glad I am, because, you know, in case no one has realized yet, I have one, and I love it. And I really like what they're doing with it. But it is still a little frustrating that most of the games so far started off as GameCube games, and then they decided to release them to the Wii, so they're still not using its full potential. But we're getting there. And for the price and for what you can do with it, it's better than 360 or the PlayStation 3. It really is.
Yeah, and it's also nice that you don't need to purchase additional upgrades and repairs and
right.
and whatnot.
Right. Wireless is all there to begin with. It's fantastic. That's the other thing with the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. They charge you extra for all the wireless stuff because they still treat it as a premium feature. Whereas the Nintendo, you need it. I mean, it has to be wireless, so it's there to begin with. The controllers are really, really expensive, like $60 to get a complete set with the nunchuck and the remote. But there's so much crap inside of it that goes to all of these, like motion sensing and wireless and the infrared technology. It really makes sense. And they're really, really sturdy. Like when people were breaking their TVs and each other by letting go of them, the controllers weren't getting broke. It was just the TVs and faces that were being broke. So it holds up. And
it's going to be like headlines like, man savagely beaten by a Wii controller.
Nintendo is releasing a, basically I've heard it described as the Wii condom, basically. Because it protects people from getting hurt when they lose their grip on the controller. It's like a cushiony, rubbery thing that if you do lose your grip, like it just sort of bounces and doesn't break things and shouldn't hurt you too much. So it's pretty funny because they're trying to cover like their liability and everything, which is sad because if you use it right, you're not going to have that problem to begin with.
And if you're not, if you're not ridiculously uncoordinated, shouldn't be a problem.
Right. So yeah, that's pretty much my rant about next gen. I think it's everything else is crap because it doesn't impress me at all. There's nothing to it. People really don't know what they're looking for or what they're talking about. Better graphics is not enough. And when your only complaint against another system is that the graphics aren't quite as good, that's also not enough. Nintendo wins. And Nintendo has proven that they win because they're the best seller out there right now.
Yeah. The other thing that everything with game with video games, it always comes back to gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the game has to have a good concept. That concept has to work. You know, all these things with, especially the popularity of PS2 was being carried by RPGs, which, you know, people were pretty interested in the graphics there, and they did good with that, but there's also an engaging storyline for those. I haven't been playing Morrowind for the past, like, 6 weeks, but I have been playing a whole lot of pinball and a whole lot of Mrs. Pac-Man, or Ms. Pac-Man.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And you mean the actual arcade stuff when you talk about that.
Yeah, I go to the arcade and then, play Ms. Pac-Man. And my current favorite table is the Lord of the Rings table.
That's sweet.
Yeah, so you got to collect all the rings. And then each book of the trilogy has a particular multi-ball that you can activate.
Sweet.
That's pretty awesome. There's like little smaller multi-balls for like Gollum's Cave and a bunch of other stuff too. So it goes even further back into a little bit of The Hobbit.
Cool.
But yeah, I heard about another table one of my friends told me about. It's a Family Guy table.
Sweet.
And you play pinball on the regular table, and there's like there's a way that you can activate a mini table that's on top of the table. It's like it's like Stewie's pinball. So the two flipper buttons activate the flippers on like the miniature, like quarter size table on top of the table. And my friend played it. He says really awesome because the ball is smaller, the table's smaller, so everything goes about twice as fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you lose that ball, you go back to playing on the big table. That's awesome.
That's another thing that I really like about the Wii. It's kind of bringing back some classic arcade ideas. And the classic gaming to begin with, where you can download like old systems games onto it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
And also the possibility of replicating the old style controls.
Right. The motion control, the shooter controls. Having like just simple controls, but having it more authentic. It's great. It's really great.
Yeah.
And I think in the interest of time, that should pretty much wrap up our video game discussion.
That's good.
For now. We'll we'll cover many more of these things in much greater detail on later shows, but for now, we should move on to the next topic.
Okay.
My retirement tomorrow will be all the sweeter. Ah! I'm hit! So cold.
Amy, tend to the widow Pac-Man. Waka waka waka.
So every now and then, I guess we should probably also talk about some news items, because there's going to be some things that people are interested in talking about or hearing about, and probably some things that we're interested in talking about or telling people about. But I think what we're going to do for this, we're not really going to editorialize too much. I mean, it'll probably be clear in some of the stories that we talk about, you know, where our ideas and philosophies lie. But what I'd really like to do is just give you some basic facts about some different things that happen that you may not have heard about, that's not really being talked about. And if you have anything to say about it or want more detail, you can go to our blog and comment. Alright? So, some things that have happened in the past month that I thought were really interesting, and I think Cal would agree, because no one's really talking about them, even though they should. We've got lots of funny things that have happened revolving around President Bush and things that he says. So, among those, he informed everyone that it is America's job to fix the world, even though his presidential campaign from 6 years ago, whenever the first time was that it's not America's job to fix the world's problems. So I thought that was interesting. Then we have Karl Rove, who admitted to everyone after he resigned or was forced to resign or whatever happened there, that he's actually an agnostic and doesn't believe any of what he told everyone in the South that he believes and why people should vote for President Bush. So you know what that means, Cal?
What?
That means that I was right about everything. This whole thing about, you know, oh, it's Bush is God and the moral majority, and if you go to church, you have to be a Republican and vote for Bush. Yeah, they didn't mean any of that. So everyone out there who fell for it, you got taken advantage of, just like I said you did. And just like...
It's cut!
What?
It's cut!
Exactly. So all those people that are like, no, we're not being tricked, we're not being taken advantage of, you're a fag. Everyone who said that to me, yeah, I was right.
Just throw it back in their face. Who's the fag now?
Well...
Wait a minute. That doesn't sound right.
Then the other fun thing that happened like that is some videos from 1994 involving Dick Cheney were released, where he talks about how we should never invade Iraq because it would be a big problem and too many people would die and too many civilians would die and it would be a quagmire. So we should never invade Iraq, and he would never support it. He said that in 1994.
He probably didn't remember it.
No.
I mean,
he's not.
Man's probably been dead on the table 3 times since 1994 anyways.
That's harsh. But true.
Yeah, but probably a low estimate.
My absolute favorite of all of these really did just happen last week or 2 weeks ago. In a speech about peace and about people that should be more getting more people involved, since we keep saying that we're a coalition and whatever, more people should get involved. He told the world that the reason Nelson Mandela isn't helping, because a lot of people think, well, Nelson Mandela's really good at this, why isn't he here? Is because Nelson Mandela is dead. Which he is not. But our president told the world that he is. So, somehow, in this twisted way of thinking that the administration has, the reason we don't have peace is because Nelson Mandela is dead. So, I thought that was a lot of fun.
I can just imagine George Bush sitting around the Oval Office going, "You're not dead?" And, like, writing down on a little scrap of paper, "Make it so." Flatting it over. It's like, you're like, "I watched E.T. They took out the shotguns and put in walkie-talkies. Let's do that. Let's replay what I just said, except we'll replay it when he's dead." It'll make sense. And while we're at it, I'd like to speak with Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, well, we have Drew Barrymore to thank for that whole concept anyway. But moving on, as long as we're talking about news, we should also talk about a little bit of sports news. So, the one exciting thing that happened in sports was Michael Vick being arrested, and I think he was convicted, or still ongoing, or whatever, but...
He's pretty much screwed, because yeah. local authorities weren't going to prosecute, because the Fed stepped in, and they're like, we got this one.
Right, yeah, over the whole the dog fighting thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's such a good person, and he's so good at what he does, and he's raising the bar so high for pro athletes and fans and the kids that look up to him and want to be quarterbacks. He's doing a great job at that. But what I think the funniest part about it is all this, you know, we could talk about that, like I was just saying, you know, how he's not a good role model, how bad pro sports are today, how people are just such jerks and idiots. The only thing that anyone in this country is actually going to care about with this story is how it affects their fantasy football team.
Yeah.
That's all. Half the people are going to be like, oh, what are we going to do now? We can't use Michael Vick. And the other half are going to be, oh, yeah, they can't use Michael Vick. And that's all. That's all that matters. Because fantasy football is all that matters in America. But the other fun thing is that, especially for Lions fans like us, is that it means Joey Harrington is the starting quarterback now for them.
Yeah, Joey Ballgame gets to screw up some games down in Atlanta.
Yeah, and he already has been. I don't even think he's playing anymore. Like, this happened, you know, weeks ago, but it still is worth talking about. Besides, the Lions are 3-1, so can't really complain too much about them right now.
Yeah, I can't really complain too much about them not having Joey Harrington.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Who just bitch and complain and look apathetic as he's walking off the field, and then he would probably mount a comeback and give us a little bit of hope, and then throw an interception over the middle.
Right.
Like, oh, we're down near the 20-yard line. Let's throw the ball over the middle to their team. Joey, we took that play out. That doesn't work.
Just because our defense. That's not a good play. Why would they have that to begin with?
I don't know. They're real good at it, though. They run it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, or also, like, just because the defense has been better than the offense the past years does not mean we should give them the ball.
Right. Okay, I think that should wrap up our news segment for now. I can't think of anything else. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Pretty happy that Bertuzzi's not a Red Wing.
Oh, that's sweet, but he scored a goal against us the other night.
Eh, wasn't enough.
No, it wasn't. It's the one. Red Wings, the one.
Oh, the other thing, I read on NHL.com, the Red Wings announced that Pavel Datsyuk is now in the rotation for wearing the A.
Yeah.
So it's Lidstrom's the captain, and they rotate the assistant captain between two out of three, Zetterberg, Draper, and Datsyuk.
Yep.
So they're making Datsyuk and Zetterberg career Red Wings.
Absolutely.
Which is good, because they're the only ones who played worth a damn in the playoffs.
Yep.
Just the captains, assistant captains, and then Chris Chelios, because he's awesome.
Yeah, and he's still playing.
Yeah, he's 45, 46 years old.
Yeah, he's old.
The man still kicks ass, and he makes delicious chili.
He does make delicious chili.
Yeah.
He does make delicious chili.
We've got a job to do. Let's go police the world!
Alright, we should start wrapping the show up, because we started to take a lot of time, and it's probably running long, and, you know, we did still have some problems and timing issues. It's just been haunting us, and we still have those problems today, even though we finally got it recorded. Got some stuff recorded, going to put it out, and I'm really happy about that. But we're going to have to kind of cut it short now. So for the next episode, which hopefully will come sometime during the week, we'll do our entertainment show, where we'll talk about some movies and TV stuff and whatever else we have time for. So to start wrapping it up, we're going to give some shout-outs, because our response has already been pretty awesome, even though we've only made 2 blog entries and 1 promo. But we've had some good response. So, Calvin, take it away.
Yeah, first we got to give a shout-out to the Ambassador, a.k.a. the Intergalactic Space Trucker.
From space.
We got to give a shout-out to the Arizona Biznatch.
And his little pug.
And of course, we've got to give a shout out to Kirk.
And I'd also like to give a super, ultra, mega, special, secret shout out to George Robb. George Robb, in case you guys don't know, is another podcaster who has an absolutely amazing show. It's really funny. And he does some songs and whatnot. He's just a really awesome guy. But I sent him an email before we started this, just telling him what we were about, telling him how big a fan I was of his, and, you know, asking if he had any advice or tips or could offer any help at all to us. Just, I don't know, I just was really felt awkward doing it, but I wrote a really long email. And he replied right away and gave me some encouragement and advice and said that he really likes what we seem to be doing here. So I have to thank him a lot for everything. And he also told me that I could use any of his material anytime I wanted. So at the end of the show, we're going to be playing Think for Yourself, which is one of his songs. It was the first song of his that I heard when I first heard who George Robb was. It was when on Skepticality they played that song, and I really like it, and it has a lot to do with the way I think and feel about a lot of things, and I think you guys will like it, so I'm going to play that, and it's really good, because George Robb is awesome. So that'll be right at the end. And other than that, everyone listening should visit our blog at somethingsomethingpodcast.blogspot.com. You should go there and leave us comments and give us some ideas for things that you want to hear us talk about. And if we like them, we'll talk about them. And if we really like what you have to say, maybe we'll call you up and get you on the show. And I think that should pretty much wrap it up. Calvin, do you have anything else to add?
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope this wasn't too bad. We're still going to be working on a lot of things, working on a lot of kinks, a lot of bugs, really focusing what we're doing, trying to figure it all out. But I had a lot of fun. Did you have fun, Cal?
Yeah, had fun. Had awesome. Some chocolate wafers. Those are pretty good, too.
Awesome. And I'm just about finished with my Guinness Extra Stout, and I'm going to be having pizza pretty soon.
So I'm going to be making... I'm going to be making... I'm actually not making spaghetti for dinner.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm doing breakfast for dinner.
Sweet.
I'm doing French toast, and then I got two kinds of syrup. I got boysenberry and blackberry.
That reminds me of Lewis Black drinking the boysenberry at the IHOP.
It's gonna be good.
All right.
Oh, and bacon. There's gonna be bacon.
Oh, there's gotta be bacon. There's always bacon.
There's always bacon.
And on that note, we're gonna wrap it up.
Hey.
Oh, and. Don't forget, pay attention to our blog, pay attention to our feed, because after I get this show released, I'm also going to be releasing the first CNU Says segment. So
Yes. That's
going to be a lot of fun. You should all make sure that you listen to that. After you hear the show, make sure you get that one too, because it's going to be awesome. All right, that'll do it. Like I said, coming up is Think for Yourself by the awesome George Robb.
As sure as the star-bellied sneeches butter the underside of their toast. All things being equal, the simplest answer's worth most. Don't rely on Vishnu, Buddha, Ron Popeil, or the Holy Ghost. Just consider these words, and that ship of life you're sailing on might not smash into the coast. Conformity. Oh, I've had enough of all the smiles and all the teeth and all the nods. And I've had my fill of promises, from magic rays to painless perfect bods. Watching
each and every channel that flashes before me. I can't believe the level of spirituality. Oh, I've had enough of the geeks who have claimed to have found the way. I wish that guy watching would just take a sec and consider what I have got to say. Give yourself a free for yourself, little man. Don't let them tell you that they have the plan. Cause everyone's lost chin deep in the sand. And what they're trying to sell to you, you shouldn't be buying. Think for yourself, little girl. Don't let them tell you how to run your world. Cause everyone's the same, choking back that nervous hurl. And if they tell you they ain't, well, they're just lying. Yeah, they're just lying. Pages in the standard magazines. I wonder if they realize what all that small print means. Whoa, you'll need a microscope to read about the no fault guarantee. Yeah, to see that these results not typical, and this offer is void in any state that's spelt with an E, like Idaho. Watching all the people place bet after amazing bet, I wonder if they realize their misplaced raison d'etre. Oh, but they don't want to hear about the odds and statistic A and B. Cause they know a guy who's got a friend, who's got a brother, who read a book by this other guy who says that, hey, this stuff always works for me. Yourself, little folks. Yo, check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Is this thing on? Hey, these are the jokes. Beware of the dudes who don't like jabs and pokes. Cause when you can't laugh at yourself, you just end up crying. Think for yourself, little friend. Is it you that they like? Or is it the money you spend? Beware of the jerks who'd rather break than bend. And to question anything to them is just like dying. Yeah, it's like dying. All the claims out on the air. Oh, I've had enough of the promises that are so damn tremulous. And I can't conceive the cast of creeps and cretins who continue to be so uncannily credulous. How are you doing? Think for yourselves, everyone. Don't believe what is said, but put your stock in what's done. Insist on all the facts, and then add up your own sum. Or else the punch you might get won't be Hawaiian. Think for yourselves, one and all. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't beat up Peter if you're pissed at Paul. Don't fall for anything.
me, should I do y'all? Who, what, where, when?